I said, let him just enjoy himself for the rest of his life. And he did. Yeah, Herbie and Darwin, a great dog. Yeah, all my dogs are great, but those were two older senior dogs we adopted. It's 7 o'clock on the nose. Let's check news.
Local news and timeless hits. WRJN, Racine, Kenosha.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. Chaos on the tarmac in Denver. An American Airlines jet caught fire after making an emergency landing. Passenger Ingrid Hibbets explains what happened.
They tell us they're diverting the flight from, like, midair instead of going to Dallas to Denver. And then they say that the engine, something's wrong with the engine, and they need to slow down.
While taxiing to a gate, an engine caught fire.
People were standing in the aisle forever, and then by the time we got out, we were pushed out onto the wing. And there wasn't a slide or anything where I was.
12 people suffered minor injuries. Ahead of tonight's deadline to avert a government shutdown, the Senate will take up the GOP's stopgap spending plan. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says he will hold his nose and vote yes.
Senator Schumer says while the continuing resolution is very bad,
the potential for a shutdown has consequences for America that are much, much worse.
He says he believes it is his job to make the best choice for the country to minimize the harms for the American people.
Therefore, I will vote to keep the government open and not shut it down.
Stacey Lynn, CBS News, Washington.
President Trump is sticking to his guns when it comes to his latest tariffs.
We've been ripped off for years, and we're not going to be ripped off anymore. No, I'm not going to bend at all. Aluminum or steel or cars, we're not going to bend.
Tariff whiplash is one reason Wall Street's been slumping. The S&P 500 fell into correction territory yesterday. Trump's tariffs threats have pushed gold prices above $3,000 an ounce for the first time ever. Gold is considered a safe haven when stocks fall sharply. CBS's Christopher Cruz reports Johns Hopkins University is cutting more than 2,000 jobs.
About 250 employees in the U.S. and almost 2,000 in 44 countries are being laid off because of the elimination of grants from the U.S. Agency for International Development, which the administration is trying to close. The cuts will affect the university's Bloomberg School of Public Health, its medical school, and an affiliated international health nonprofit.
Half of the school's operating revenue comes from federally funded research. The storm that brought heavy rains and even a tornado to Southern California is now marching across the country. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson says there could be more severe weather.
The area that we're watching for the most destructive and damaging tornadoes likely to be around St. Louis, potentially extending into the Mid-South a little bit.
The same system could bring blizzard conditions to the northern plains and severe weather to the east coast over the weekend. Things are looking up on Wall Street this morning after another big drop yesterday. Dow futures are up 237, NASDAQ futures up 209. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Racine and Kenosha counties went in different directions last month when it comes to their housing markets. According to the Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors, in Racine County, home sales fell by almost 12% compared to February of last year. Kenosha County saw a big increase in home sales, up almost 25%. Both counties are dealing with a shortage of homes for sale and rising prices, which the realtors say is a common problem in the area. There's plenty of green to go around tomorrow with competing Irish interests in both Racine and Kenosha. The neighboring cities are celebrating St. Patrick's Day with parades tomorrow. It's the 17th annual in Racine, stepping off at noon from State and Main. This is Kenosha's first foray into greenery with their inaugural St. Pat's Parade tomorrow. That starts at 11, beginning at 50th Street and 7th Avenue, and heading south on 6th. You can see the Racine Parade lineup at RacineCountyEye.com. Racine's iconic broadcaster Gary Sewer is getting more accolades. Sewer, who passed in 2020, dedicated his career to local sports and news in Racine. Yesterday, he was announced as a Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Hall of Famer. Sewer's 36-year tenure at WRJN included the broadcast of over 2,100 games and earned him multiple honors. The press box at Horlick Field bears his name. The WBA will recognize Sewer and other honorees at a summer conference. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
The Bucks sink the Lakers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Bucks at the Lakers at Fiserv Farm. L.A. without LeBron James. Luka Doncic had 45 points. The Bucks still won by 20. 126 to 106. Milwaukee's Kevin Porter, 5 of 7 from the three-point line.
When we put the pieces together on both ends, you know, it's going to be very hard to beat us. And that's kind of what we're just trying to figure out. Definitely had some lapses on defense and offense, but we'll take this game every night.
Men's college basketball, the Badgers take on UCLA today in the Big Ten tournament. Wisconsin with a 70-63 win over Northwestern to advance. In New York, Marquette tonight against the number one seed St. John's in the Big East. After beating Xavier 89-87, Shaka Smart on Stevie Mitchell, sparking a come-from-behind victory.
He's such a unique player. You can't quantify it. He willed us to come back when we were dead in the water. I love the guy.
That's head coach Shaka Smart with sports on Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear, light south winds developing in the overnight with lows dropping to the lower 40s. On Friday, we'll keep it cool. Upper 50s in the afternoon, mostly sunny skies. South winds gusting to 30. Showers and storms likely Friday night. It's 42 at our studios.
Came back from Hawaii. They spent a few days in California with us. We took them to the La Brea Tar Pits. You know what I'm talking about, where they have the fossils and things? I'm not making this up. My brother actually said, man, just don't seem like dinosaurs have come this close to downtown, does it? That's my blood, y'all. Because this is the same brother a few years ago. We went to Disney World. He stood in line 30 minutes to get Goofy's autograph. I said, just a kid in a Goofy costume. He said, no, I'm pretty sure that's the real Goofy right there. I remember 5 or 6 years ago, I went to see him. I was in town. He wasn't home. There was a note taped to his front door that said, Jeff, I had to run to the office. I'll be back in 5 minutes. The key is under the mat. Your only hope is a blind burglar.
Could be it, folks. A minute 46 seconds remaining in this ball game. 7-degree temperatures, winds in excess of 30 miles per hour, snow through the whole first half, and a little bit more here in the fourth. And the Raiders and the Bootleggers putting on a great football game in icy, snowy field conditions. And the Raiders have a 2-point lead, 15-13, with a minute 46. Here is Moore. He's going back to pass. He's got a lot of time. He rolls out. He's going to run. He's caught, and he's got Kirk Campendall after him. Knocks the ball loose. It's on the ground. That's going to be the ball game. The Raiders have won it. The Raiders, for the first time, become a minor pro football team to win consecutive championships of the National League and an International League this time. So the Raiders beat the Ottawa Bootleggers by a score of 15-13.
And that's the voice of Gary Sewer. Tom Karkle, former news director here at WRJN, is with me. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Okay, now, Gary Sewer, let me explain first. Gary Sewer is one of four people being honored as local broadcast legends by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. The others are Judy Clark, Patrick O'Neill, John Stofflett, and Gary Sewer. Gary is a legend in local radio. He's the trusted voice of Racine, bringing high school and semi-pro sports to life on WRJN, not to mention tirelessly bringing us the news. Now, you succeeded Gary Sewer as news director, so between the two of you, a half a century or more, right? I mean, when you think about it, add it up.
Well, Gary started in the news department at RJN in 1969 when the news department was formed. It was established by Don Edmark, who had been brought up from Kenosha, because before that, the Journal Times owned the station, and they got the news through news services and from the newspaper. So from 1969 until Gary retired at the end of July 1998, he was doing news.
And during his reign as news director, I mean, we covered, actually you covered all the...
We.
we covered everything in town. If it was a school board meeting, if it was a meeting of the aldermen, if it was a meeting anywhere, or it was something important, a meeting with the mayor's office, it was always covered on WRJN. That's why WRJN became the local news station, because it was always covered. Gary Sewer on his typewriter. I still remember him sitting on that typewriter, typing away, always had the news ready, and did such a great job. And that's just the news part of it. I think his real heart was in the sports, high school sports and the Raiders, wouldn't you think? I think it really,
Yeah, in formal interviews, you would always say he liked them both equally. But, yeah, he loved doing the sports, the high school stuff especially. And talk about a man who was prepared for what he had to do. Always ready with charts and graphs and interviews. He would talk to coaches of the teams he was going to be covering days before the event itself. So he had audio to play on his sports broadcast and present something else that was part of that broadcast. I mean, he was just totally prepared. He said he liked to get to events about 90 minutes beforehand because there could be something that, you know, wasn't set up correctly, like a phone line wasn't installed or something along that line.
Yeah, the phone lines. Yeah. Remember the days you had to have a phone line to broadcast?
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, he was had such a commitment to this so much that at Horlick Field, the press box is named the Gary Sewer Press Box.
Yep.
That's what people thought of him.
That's quite an honor, and I remember when we were covering that at the city council chambers, and you would hear about, you know, the process as it was working itself along, and it was quite an honor for Gary. And the unfortunate thing is he was broadcasting when the ceremony was taking place.
Yeah,
so he wasn't
good
down on the field.
You know, I remember when I was a janitor at my first radio station, they named the dumpster after me, the Don Rosen dumpster. And so I know it's a great honor to have something like that. But the Gary Sewer Press Box lives on. I pass Horlick Field all the time. And every single time I look at it, I think that's the Gary Sewer Press Box.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of amazing things happened at Horlick Athletic Field. Gary calling many of them over the years.
You know, and he covered a lot of big stories in town, too. And he worked for, I asked you before we went on the air, was this his first radio station? No, he actually worked for WFHR up in Wisconsin Rapids, which at the time he was here, Bliss Communications owned us, and they owned that station, too. What a coinkydink. And so he worked, so he's always been in Wisconsin radio. I don't think he ever was out of it, was he?
No. He's a Milwaukee native. He did serve in the Army. He went to UW-Madison, graduated in 59, then he came to Racine in 62 from Wisconsin Rapids.
I'm so glad I got to work with him. I really am, because he's now going to be an official legend in Wisconsin radio. When did Gary pass away? What was the year?
Gary passed away April 20th of 2020, and it was during COVID, of course. And unfortunately, they couldn't do a service. The family couldn't do any service until the following year. And I was fortunate enough to be able to attend that.
And Gary's wife passed away not too long ago, too.
We lost Joan in January, yeah. So the kids are still around, Rob and Jay and Brian and Eric. And I had contact with Rob. And it was Michelle Vetterkind from the WBA who actually told Rob about this. I asked Rob if it was okay to provide her with his information to make contact with him. He said, fine. And I told Michelle, it would be really good if it came from you without them knowing ahead of time what it is. And that's how it unfolded.
Let me tell you about the WBA Local Broadcast Legends Award. It was established in 2015 under the direction of Bruce Grassman, owner and president of Results Radio. The award recognizes individuals whose work behind the scenes and within their communities, fulfilling the commitment broadcasters have made to serve their local communities. They exemplify localism. The award is a means to extend recognition to these individuals beyond their local communities. Individuals with 15 years or more in service in Wisconsin broadcasting may be nominated by their company, coworkers, community leaders, family members, and friends. The station or organization which the nominee is associated with submits the nominations on behalf of the nominating individuals. Boy, he fits all the criteria, doesn't he?
Checked all the boxes.
That's
no
right.
question.
Well, and I thank you very much. We got that audio of the Raiders. You supplied that to us as well because you are I'm not going to call you unofficial. I'm going to call you the official historian of WRJN. You've got all the stuff. And we met recently with the Racine Heritage Museum because we celebrate 100 years in about a year and a half now.
Yep.
And we're going to do a little something special at the Racine Heritage Museum. And we could probably fill, or you can probably fill the whole museum with stuff, but we're going to have a little section celebrating 100 years of WRJN. Now, you were here for how many? 39
years.
39 years. That's a little less than half the length of this station when you think about it.
Yeah, my goal was 40, but the circumstances didn't allow that.
Yeah, we'll write a book someday and make the movie version of why it didn't work out. I had 25, so I'm a quarter of the length of the station, which is really something, too, when you think about it. Well, long live Gary Sewer. He'll never be forgotten between the press box, the memories people have of Gary Sewer, and now he is going to be a legend, a broadcast legend from the Racine, from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. And the actual ceremony takes place at their summer conference. They have two conferences, the winter and the summer. And it's going to be done at the summer conference, which is where they also announce the WBA awards each year. And if you ever were in our lobby, you see our wall covered with them. We've won a lot over the years. We also won, we were nominated at one point for the National Association of Broadcasters Station of the Year, which is a real big honor. Yep. And I'll tell you the quick story. Tony Gazzana, our owner, went to Dallas where they were going to make they're going to unveil which station is the station of the year in America from the National Association of Broadcasters. And they're reading off the nominees, and he's clapping with each one. He goes, "This is just an honor to be nominated," he said to his friend who was with him. And they keep clapping, and they keep mentioning, and they mention WRJN, and he goes, "What an honor just to be nominated." Then they mention the winning station, and it wasn't us, and he goes, "I am a bitter, bitter man." But we had, I don't know where it went. We had it on the wall. I guess the previous owner took it down. But we actually had the nominating papers on the wall. And WRJN, think about this. There were over 11,000 radio stations in America. WRJN was nominated for Station of the Year out of over 11,000 radio stations. This little thousand water in Racine, Wisconsin was nominated at that time. That's really something when you think about it.
Yep. Yeah, it was like with the news awards, we were graciously recognized for our work over the years, and Gary was part of that too. He was one. I got on one of the four was Milwaukee Press Club awards that we won. It was one of the political issues that cropped up during that time. So Gary's on one of those. Gary, you know, just to kind of summarize, Gary. He did so much for the station and for the community, and I learned a great deal from him. I would probably not have had the career that I had without his influence, and I am grateful for that always.
You know, and my image of him is always on the typewriter, because even when we switched over to computers in the newsroom, he still wanted that typewriter. He didn't want to give up on paper and typing. And I remember when they said, you know, you're going to have to. And then when audio moved from tape to computers, too, it was tough for him to do that because his entire career was using tape, you know, for recording tape and using the typewriter. And it was tough to advance, but he didn't. You know, he moved on, but it was tough.
It was. And yeah, it was especially difficult in light of the obvious health issues that he suffered in the later years.
Well, one last time, we just want to congratulate Gary Sewer as one of four honored local broadcast legends. Well-deserved. It's about time. And, Tom, thank you very much. Hold on the line. Don't go anywhere. Tom Karko, who probably knew Gary Sewer here best at this radio station, commenting on the status of local broadcast legend. That is something, huh? It's 7:19, local news, timeless hits at WRJN. And right now, here's Pete.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwava. Glenn Powell is not by any means desperate for work. In addition to filming a remake of The Running Man and Top Gun 3 on the horizon, Powell has just signed on to a new film called The Natural Order, a sci-fi thriller about the search for eternal life. The production is in the talks with Mufasa, The Lion King director Barry Jenkins. Jenkins also directed 2016's Moonlight, for which he won an Oscar for Best Director. Kelly Ripa and husband Mark Consuelos are often referred to as the cutest married couple ever around their dinner table. The overly perky co-hosts of Live with Kelly and Mark are great at self-promotion, and this time it's because Consuelos did a segment on the show with his fly open. The supposedly accidental open zipper became obvious when he leaned back in his chair. Producers thought quickly and moved to the next segment, which is called Stump Mark, which is a perfect segment name for a guy who forgets to pull up his zipper. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwaba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
After you've started your day with the Don Rosen Morning Show on WRJN, be sure to stay tuned for the rest of the day as the Dan Marcus Wax Museum brings fun stories and interviews with the timeless hitmakers. And Kurt Vollman recaps events from around town and previews the arts and entertainment in Racine. After Don, it's Dan, then Kurt, as we bring you local news and timeless hits. WRJN.
Afraid of Pain at 7:23. Local news, timeless hit to WRJN. New research looked into people's motivations for working out, and while people say they want to improve their health, the top reason was actually because they want to look good. Now, to be fair, 19% of people are hoping to improve their physical health, 17% want to improve their mental health, and the rest of us are just dying to look good. With me, it's not working so well. It's 7:24. We got Paul Harvey and the rest of the story in just 2 minutes from now. Right here at WRJN. Looking for sunshine today with a high near 58. Right now, partly cloudy. It's 43 degrees in Radio Park. Here's Little Richard and...
Miss Marley. Show like the ball.
Good golly, Ms. Molly. 726 at WRJN Local News, Timeless Hits, where tomorrow we've got high school basketball getting down to the nitty-gritty here. Waterford against Park from Whitefish Bay. That's where the game's going to be played. Pre-game 12:30 with Dick Rousseff, a tip-off 1 p.m. right here at WRJN. Right now, though, it's time for Paul Harvey and the rest of the story, brought to you by Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha on 75th Street and 30th Avenue. Kenosha's family tradition for stunning customized floral arrangements, homemade candles, and premium chocolates. Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha, bringing you Paul Harvey and the rest of the story in just 30 seconds.
When words aren't enough, say it with flowers from Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha. From breathtaking bouquets to elegant arrangements, they create floral designs for birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, and every special moment in between. Complete your gift with DeBrand truffles or a signature Carrie's candle with scents like Wisconsin Northwoods, Ocean Breeze, or Mom's Home. Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha. Enter the spacious parking lot from 75th Street just west of 30th Avenue. Open until 7 p.m. weeknights and 2 p.m. on Saturdays.
Rest of the story. The history books have not recorded the last word on the gold rush of 87. Did you know, for example, that prospectors struck silver and platinum at the same site? Oh, yes, they did. And did you know that they knew where to look because they had been told where by a mystic? That's right. The gold rush of 87, and I'm talking 1987, began in the dreams of an octogenarian rabbi from Brooklyn, New York, Rabbi Menachem Schneerson of the mystical Lubavitch Jewish movement. It was he who led fortune seekers to a mother lode that continues to yield 28 ounces of gold in hours. It was he who first declared that there was gold in the Nar Hills of Israel. This is the rest of the story. The Israelis have an immigrant problem. The nation that once needed helping hands now has more hands than it can handle. The economy is stagnating, and consequently, career opportunities are few. Although a government press blackout denies us precise figures, at least 33,000 Soviet Jews have settled in Israel during the first 4 months of this year. Perhaps another 150,000 will come by the end of the year. But ever since Soviet immigrant Herman Brandover struck gold in the outskirts of Jerusalem on the advice of a Brooklyn rabbi, things have been looking up. Brandover has incorporated, the company is called Satec, S-A-T-E-C. An increasing number of immigrant Soviet Jews are working this mineral-rich site. The Israeli economy has gotten a boost from the $1 million plus spent by Satec on local goods and local services. Now a major Canadian mining company has become interested in Brandover's operation. This Canadian company has delegates over there seeking to learn more about Satec's unique ore extraction process. Brandover says that in some aspects of mechanical engineering and metallurgy, the Russians are more advanced than anyone in the world. Well, now that expertise from Soviet Russia has been brought to the Jerusalem gold rush, and many newcomers who had hoped merely for a new homeland are getting rich in the bargain. For the Soviet prospectors in Israel are now accomplishing what men have only dreamed of since the most ancient times. They are not digging for precious metals in the ground. They are making them, almost like the alchemists of old who sought to produce gold from bubbling crucibles and incantations. For you see, Herman Brandover's chemical gold mine, first envisioned by an 88-year-old mystical rabbi from Brooklyn, is cranking out pure gold 100 times faster than ever before possible, and at half the cost, in an ultra-modern facility on the edge of the city of Jerusalem. What he's doing is actually scavenging gold and silver and platinum from old, worn-out electronic circuit boards. Circuit boards which have been discarded on scrap heaps by other companies. And thus, at this moment, are immigrant Soviet Jews making gold from garbage, demonstrating the resourcefulness of their ancestors who once found their manna in the wilderness. Now you know the rest of the story.
And we have another rest of the story coming up later today, but right now it's 7:31.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A woman missing from just across the state line might be on this side of the border. A search is underway for 37-year-old Megan Bose. She's from Antioch and has been missing since mid-February. It's possible she's in Kenosha, Racine, or Milwaukee. Bose is described as 5'4", with dark brown hair and distinctive tattoos. There's an image of her on the Antioch Police social media pages. Kenosha police say they're still investigating the situation regarding a different missing woman whose body was found in Lake Michigan Sunday. The two cases are not believed to be related. Racine and Kenosha counties saw very different housing markets last month. Racine home sales dropped nearly 12% in year-to-year sales, while Kenosha County jumped almost 25% in the same time period. The Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors says in their release that both areas are still facing a shortage of homes and rising prices. High school hoops are heating up. You can hear the live action tomorrow night on WRJN. Once it's done, check out the Racine County Eye for a recap and a look forward. There's high school sports coverage on both the airwaves and at RacineCountyEye.com. It's all of southern Wisconsin in that burn warning today. The National Weather Service says there's an elevated fire risk due to dry ground, gusty winds, and low humidity. People are being told to use caution with outdoor burning or to postpone it until a more favorable weather day. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour or anytime at WRJN.com.
Boy, dairy is one of those complexes that still is showing some strength despite all the conversations about tariffs. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. For example, yesterday, barrel cheese in Chicago gained 6 cents at 173. 40-pound block cheese, that was up 3 at 175.5. Matt Channel, one of the dairy risk managers with EverAg out of Platteville, says the market is still anticipating some retaliatory efforts.
Regardless if we love them or hate them, we know that there's going to be a lot of changes in regards to trade under the Trump administration. So I do think that you saw a lot of different action, and look no further than the January cheese export report, where we exported another 103 million pounds of cheese. It's been an incredible 2024 and really a start to the 2025 year.
So dairy's still moving. That's Matt Trannell, one of the dairy risk managers with EverAg out of Platteville. That's the upside on dairy, at least for now. What about corn, soybeans, and livestock? Well, those numbers are next.
Loss of appetite, drop in milk production, and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Gold Light provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
$1 billion. That's how much equipment is stolen from U.S. construction sites every year. These thieves are stalling projects, hurting Wisconsin's family-owned businesses, and driving up costs for everyone. Judge Brad Schimmel takes theft seriously. He holds criminals accountable and protects the people who are just trying to do their jobs. Call Judge Schimmel and thank him for protecting us. Paid for by the Associated Builders and Contractors of Wisconsin.
And overnight electronic trade on a Friday morning. Right now, December new crop corns down 2.5 at 4.50. November new crop beans up a penny at 10.13, while July wheat's unchanged, 5.78. The April Class 3 milk that goes into cheese down a penny right now at 18.09. May closed 24 cents higher at 18.14 a hundredweight. Remember, the National Weather Service would love to have you join us as rainfall reporters and weather observers. Very easy to do. All you need to do is go to WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org and get details. They're driving home the message all March long how important citizen scientists are to the weather reporting system. WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org. I'm Pam Yonke.
WRJN Weather.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Breezy and warm today, highs well into the 60s, and more clouds as the day goes on. Showers and thunderstorms tonight, then rain mixing with and changing over to some snow as we look into Saturday, windy with falling temps. Much colder Sunday. It's 42 right now.
I had to get divorced. My ex-wife, she used to talk to me like I'm an idiot. Everything I say, she'd correct me, you know, and I couldn't take it no more. I'm like, Lisa, quit correcting me. She's like, my name's Sheila. Yeah. It was stuff like that every day. And she argued with anybody, you know, people like that. They argue all the time with people. We went to a psychic one time, and he was telling her stuff she didn't want to hear. She gets in an argument with a guy. Who argues with a psychic, first of all? He goes, your wife's a lunatic. I'm like, this guy's good. Wow. I know, and I didn't tell him nothing. I read that book, The Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Phoenix. You ever read that? Being divorced, I get to do different things now, like talk and stuff.
Don Rosen in the morning. WRJN.
Let's say good morning to Brett Hoffman of Marcus. I forgot to turn on my microphone. I'm talking away, and no one's listening. Brett Hoffman from Marcus Theaters is here every Friday. We talk about what's new at the movies. We'll also have a list of baseball movies in case you want to get a jump on spring training. You can watch some baseball films. And good morning, Brett. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Don.
I got four new movies opening up this weekend. A four-pack. What do we have?
Yeah, there's actually five. So we snuck another one in there. So let's get started. And the first one, which might be at the top of the box office, but a lot of them will come close, Novocaine. This one's getting an 80-plus percent rating on Rotten Tomatoes, 81% fresh rating with the critics, 87% with audiences. They're loving this. 2 weeks ago, this was our mystery movie that we played. Audiences loved this movie when they saw it as a mystery movie for us. It's an R-rated action movie called Novocaine. It stars Jack Quaid. He plays this man. He's got a rare physical condition that doesn't allow him to feel pain. So in the movie, his girlfriend gets kidnapped. He's the only man that could save her. And let me tell you, the people that kidnapped his girlfriend have another thing coming because he has this advantage in the fight to rescue her and the fact that whatever they do to him, he can't feel. So that's Novocaine out right now. It's an R-rated action movie.
And by the way, this is not to be confused with the Steve Martin movie from the early 2000s called Novocaine. Same name, totally different movie.
Sorry, no one plays a dentist that I know of in this film.
Okay.
So that's right.
All right, what do you got next for us?
All right, Black Bag. This is an R-rated spy thriller. It's directed by Steven Soderbergh. 97% critics rating, 80-plus percent rating with audiences on this one. It is a wonderful thriller. Michael Fassbender and Kate Blanchett star in this one. They're a married couple. They both serve as intelligence agents. Kate's character is suspected of betraying the nation, and her husband, Michael Fassbender, must face the ultimate test of his loyalty to choose his marriage or his country. So lots of things going on, lots of if, when, hows in this movie. Black Bag, it's a thriller. Check this one out. It's going to be a really good one, and people shouldn't miss this one from Focus Features.
Okay, number three.
All right, we have a John Malkovich movie. It's rated R, and it's called Opus, being released by A24. A young journalist travels to a remote compound where a legendary pop star played John Malkovich comes out who's been missing for decades, and here he is. However, when she and other journalists get there to cover the story, they find themselves in the middle of something that may be more twisted. So a little bit of a drama, but a little bit of a twist there in terms of what is going on. That is Opus.
And next up is Thufferin' Thuckatash. That's all, folks. We got a Looney Tunes movie.
That's right. Those of us that grew up on Looney Tunes are going to enjoy this one. The critics are enjoying it as well. 87% rating. It's going to be certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. The Day the Earth Blew Up, a Looney Tunes movie. It's a PG comedy, so you can take the whole family to this one. Everyone's going to enjoy this. People that grew up on it, whether you're young, whether you're old, you'll enjoy this one. Porky Pig and Daffy Duck are back. And in this one, they're the Earth's only hope when they face the threat of an alien invasion. So you can expect this one to be just every bit as good as what you remember from the Looney Tunes cartoons, The Day the Earth Blew Up, a Looney Tunes movie.
You know what's really amazing? Between Looney Tunes and the Merry Melodies, which Bugs Bunny was in Merry Melodies, one guy did all the voices: Yosemite Sam, Bugs, Daffy, Porky Pig, Pepe Le Pew. You name the character, Foghorn Leghorn. One guy, Mel Blanc, did all those voices. Isn't that amazing that one guy did it all?
Yeah, well, most certainly. And people don't realize that, actually, is that when they're watching The Simpsons or things like that, sure, a lot of voice talent is involved, but many people do multiple characters.
Yeah, but not those. Mel Blanc did. After Mel Blanc passed away, I remember the cartoon in the paper, and I got very teary-eyed. I still get teary-eyed thinking about it. They had all the Warner Brothers characters from Looney Tunes and Merry Melodies all standing around his grave, and they had bubbles over their head to talk, but there was no voice because Mel Blanc was dead, and they were silent. And I just get teary-eyed when I think about that cartoon, because that's so true. I mean, he silenced all the characters. Not since then they got people to fill in, but they had no voice after he passed away. That was sad. Okay, now we do have a fifth movie I wasn't aware of. We have a fifth one. It's just in time for Easter, and it's called The Last Supper.
That's right. It's called The Last Supper. It is PG-13. It's from executive producer Chris Tomlin, who's a Christian music artist, who was actually called upon to do some music for this film and then got more and more involved as he wrote music and became on as an executive producer. It's the powerful story that was experienced by those that walked beside Jesus. So it's from their perspective leading up to his betrayal during the night of the Last Supper, and then, of course, later on, the crucifixion. So this one is coming out today. And just to note, there are two Last Supper installments coming out over this Lenten period. There's this movie, which is The Last Supper, rated PG-13. And then later on this month and into April, there is The Chosen Season 5, The Last Supper. So two different things. The Chosen Season 5, The Last Supper, will be the episodes of The Chosen Season 5 on the big screen. That starts later this month. But right now it's this movie, which is a PG-13 film called The Last Supper.
We never missed any of The Chosen. Now, we own all the DVDs, but first we watch it on the big screen. Then we get the DVDs with the extras on them. But, yeah, we've been following The Chosen since season one. Remarkably, they have all the same people in every season. I mean, the same actors, which kind of holds together well because you become familiar with them after all. It's like any, you know, any show you watch, you don't want the characters to change, and they don't do it. It's such a great job, Angel Studios. And I'm looking forward to both this Last Supper and the one coming out with The Chosen. Excellent. All right, coming up in just a moment, we have got big news about a sequel coming out. Big news. It's one of my favorite comedies, and it's got a Roman numeral 2 after it. So we'll talk about that coming up in a moment. Brett Hoppen from Marcus Theaters here at WRJN at 744. We're looking for sunshine today with a high near 58. Maybe some rain and thunderstorms tonight. Lows around 46. Sunday tomorrow, highs near 57. Partly sunny Saturday with a high near 43. Partly cloudy, 43 degrees right now, right here at Radio Park.
Today's WRJN Big Deal of the Day. Von Hassel Jewelers. Just in time for Easter and Mother's Day, give a priceless gift that shines as bright as your love. Whether it's a delicate necklace, a dazzling diamond ring, or a one-of-a-kind handcrafted treasure, Von Hassel Jewelers has something truly special for every occasion. Go to WRJN.com, click the Big Deals banner, and purchase $100 gift certificates for just $40. Today only at WRJN Big Deals.
Hey Kenosha, this is Carl Bryan, and I'm running for the KUSD School Board to bring accountability and strong leadership to our schools. With prior experience on the KUSD School Board and at the Wisconsin DPI, I know how to ensure taxpayer dollars are spent wisely, improving student achievement, addressing student safety, and making our district more accountable. Early voting runs from March 18th to the 28th, or you can vote in person on April 1st. Vote Carl Bryan for responsible leadership on the KUSD School Board. Authorized and paid for by the committee to elect Carl Bryan. Andre Scamma, Treasurer.
Craving something sweet? Linda Sugar Bliss is Racine's hidden gem for homemade treats. Every bite is a taste of heaven. Decadent cookies, cakes, melt-in-your-mouth pastries, bakery happiness made from scratch just for you. Needing the perfect treat for a special occasion? Linda has you covered. Whether you're celebrating or simply satisfying your sweet tooth, Linda's Sugar Bliss brings a touch of homemade warmth to your home, one treat at a time. Visit them on Facebook or call 262-275-1033.
Are you ready to enjoy retirement? How would you like to live in a place dedicated to your comfort while allowing you the freedom to live an active and worry-free lifestyle? Fountain Hills offers condo-style apartments, and their residents enjoy going out for lunches and dinners, grocery shopping, playing cards and bingo with other residents, all while using extra precautions to keep their senior residents safe. To explore becoming a Fountain Hills resident, see FountainHillsApartments.com or call 262-886-9200.
Opioid manufacturer Purdue Pharma's Political Action Committee donated to just one Wisconsin candidate in 2016. That candidate was extreme politician Judge Brad Schimmel. The company also gave money to a national Republican group whose PAC spent nearly $3 million on Schimmel's 2018 election. From the year 2000 to 2017, Wisconsin had over 7,500 opioid-related deaths. Democratic and Republican attorneys general from other states and 71 out of 72 counties filed lawsuits against Purdue Pharma. But Brad Schimmel refused to join them. Thousands of Wisconsinites died. Wisconsin people should always take priority over profits. Tell Judge Brad Schimmel to look out for Wisconsinites, not out-of-state drug companies. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
WRJN. Brett Hoffman here from Marcus Theaters. We're talking movies. Now, one of my favorite comedies, and I laugh every time I even think about it, and I quote the movie all the time, is This is Spinal Tap. A whole bunch of great comedians. It was kind of a fake documentary put together by Rob Reiner, who directed it. And there's just one funny line after another. It's about an aging rock band that just doesn't know when it's over. And they're on their final concert tour, and everything that can go wrong at a concert tour with a rock band goes wrong. It's very funny. And now, This is Spinal Tap 2. The End Continues. What a great title.
That's right. Most, like all bands touring, it's the final tour until the next one, which always happens that way. So, but we get to see these guys come back. Brilliant writing by the whole team here. I'm excited about it. It's Spinal Tap 2. The End Continues. They've announced that Bleecker Street has acquired this. They're going to put it out on September 12th. And I'm really looking forward to this because Reiner's returning in his role as the documentarian that he was in the first one. There are cameos because a lot of people loved it. You've got Elton John, Paul McCartney, Garth Brooks, Trisha Yearwood. A whole bunch of people are going to be in this one as well. I can't wait for it to come out. And no word yet if they'll do a stop here in Shank Hall, which, of course, was the fictitious hall in Milwaukee in the actual movie in 1984. That became a Wirral concert hall named after that, in memory of that. So Spinal Tap 2 coming this fall. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully, if it's 50% as good as the first one, to me, it will be satisfying.
Now, Rob Reiner's name is kind of a play on Martin Scorsese. He's called Martin DeBerge. Yes. It's kind of a play on that. Now, are they getting any of the original Spinal Tap players back? Did you hear?
Yeah, I mean, you'll see a lot of them coming back. I mean, Christopher Guest is a writer on this one. So
okay.
You'll see him in this movie. So you'll see a lot of the originals in there. You'll see a lot of cameos. So think about this as just, once again, the band is getting back together. That's the whole theme. We don't exactly know the plot, but the band is getting back together for one final concert. And I can guarantee you that things probably won't go smoothly. That's all I could probably guarantee you.
And the volume will go to 11 on the on the amplifier.
In fact, that's the basis of the teaser trailer that was just put out yesterday.
Oh, is it really?
You'll
okay.
see a lot of amps going to 11 if you watch the teaser trailer.
Not 10, but ours is louder. It goes to 11. Okay, now, back in the old days of the studio system, when the studio set to do something, you hopped if you were an actress or an actor. Not so much anymore. Scarlett Johansson, what was she was asked by Universal Pictures to join Instagram because of the, there's a film she's in, comes out July 2nd. She said, nope. You never said no to the studios in the old days, did you?
Well, no, but this one is Jurassic World Rebirth is coming out this 4th of July week. And I guess the studio asked her, the Universal asked her, hey, would you like to join Instagram to help us out here? And she politely declined. She's one of the few people in Hollywood that doesn't have a social media presence. But you know what she said? She thinks the film will do just fine. And I agree. If you watch the trailer, she is wonderful in the trailer. The trailer is a great setup for this one. And I just can't wait for it to come out. But very interesting. We just have Scarlett. She's not interested in social media. I'd like to put it out there that if anyone would like me to star in a film, I will join as many social media platforms as they would like. So we'll just put that out there.
And Scarlett Johansson is probably a healthier person mentally for it.
That's right.
Now, Stranger Things. Now, I'm not familiar. I know about it, but I don't have a streaming service. I don't have any of that stuff. Talk about Stranger Things. You had a story about it here.
Yeah, Stranger Things, Sadie Sink, who stars as one of the group of kids in Stranger Things, she signed on to join Tom Holland and star in the fourth Spider-Man film, which is going to come out on July 31st of 2026. The plot of this is under wraps. Everything is under wraps for this film. But remember, the last Spider-Man film made $1.91 billion worldwide, $804 million domestically. So the last time they came out a few years ago, it really did well at the box office. In fact, I remember the night tickets went on sale. All of the theater exhibition companies, Fandango, all of the websites that were selling tickets actually shut down because of high web traffic that time. So Spider-Man will be coming out in 1 year, and we've got Sadie Sink signed up for that one. So look forward to that. Good news. We've got a year to go, about a year and a half.
Now, who did we say was in Madam Web again?
It's Dakota Johnson.
Dakota Johnson. She was kind of blaming other people for the failure of Madam Web, which was a colossal failure at the box office. And then the studio said, whoa, 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 whoa. You started that thing. It's your fault. And I mentioned to you, when a movie's a hit, everybody's taking credit for it. When it's a failure, everybody's pointing the finger. And I feel bad. You know, nobody goes out to make a bad movie. It's just, you don't do that with this kind of money they're talking about. How does a movie like that, now I'm not into the Marvel Universe, I don't know anything about Madam Web. They had to see this movie before it was released. Did they not know the picture was not going to do well? I mean, you'd think if they saw it, they would know it. Wouldn't you think?
Sometimes you got that much invested, you're at the point of no return. This one was an interesting one. Not only did it star Dakota Johnson, but I mean, Sydney Sweeney was in this movie. Big stars were in this movie, and it just didn't work out. But that happens in Hollywood sometimes. So Madam Web obviously did not do very well. It was also up for a Razzie Award a couple weeks ago. So this Marvel film didn't do particularly well. On the converse side, we just mentioned Spider-Man, which typically does do very, very well.
Hey, even Tom Hanks has a flop now and then, and so does Tom Cruise. They all have flops now and then. You know, it happens sometimes. Not everyone's a winner. Okay, let's talk about baseball. Baseball season kicks off in a few weeks. It's underway now with the exhibition games. As a matter of fact, we have one on Saturday on WRJN. Okay, let's talk about baseball movies here. The Hollywood Reporter put together a list of the 10 baseball movies. I have a disagreement here with them. Major League did not make the list. The Sandlot did not make the list. And one of the best baseball movies of all time with Kevin Costner. And the name of that film is?
Well,
that's your cue.
You haven't read the list, but I believe it's the Field of Dreams.
What I'm saying. The Kevin Costner Field of Dreams did not make the list. Here's what did make the list. 8 Men Out, which was the story of the Chicago Black Sox. That was a good movie. This was a really good film. Jonah Hill and Brad Pitt starred in the true story of Moneyball. Remember that? That was a good baseball movie. Bull Durham, another baseball film from Kevin Costner. It was okay. Here's an older one from 1957. Fear Strikes Out, about Jimmy Pearsall. It was played by Norman Bates himself before he was Norman Bates. Anthony Perkins. True story about Jimmy Pearsall, who had a breakdown. Fear Strikes Out. The Natural, another good movie. This one with Robert Redford playing a mythical person. A League of Their Own, very funny movie. The true story of when women had the baseball league because the men were off to war and they started the baseball league with just women, including the Racine, the Bells, And if you go to the Racine Heritage Museum, they have the original uniforms from the Racine Bells from the I forget the name of the league they were in. Bang the Drum Slowly, another good movie. Sugar from 2008. I don't recall this movie. Do you?
I don't remember it. Like, I looked it up. It's obviously about a young pitcher from Dominican Republic that was arriving for spring training. So it was put up by Sony Pictures Classic. It didn't make much at the box office, but I have not seen it myself. So it's Sugar, but it was released in 2008.
One of the best baseball movies ever. Every time I see this movie, I cry. People say, have you ever cried at the movie? This was one of them. Challenge to Lassie, I cried at. And this is the other one. Pride of the Yankees with Gary Cooper playing Lou Gehrig, who held the record at the time. I think he still does. For the most continuous baseball games, he never took a day off. And he became ill with amyotrophic sclerosis, which became known as Lou Gehrig's disease. And in real life, he gave a very tearful goodbye at Yankee Stadium when he couldn't play anymore because of the disease. And he simply said, today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth. And if you see that movie, the real Babe Ruth is in that film. They had a couple of the big Yankees still in that movie. But I get very teary-eyed when I think about Gary Cooper's portrayal of Lou Gehrig. What a movie. The Pride of the Yankees. And another film I never heard of, Boiling Point from 1990, a Japanese movie. You ever hear of it?
Yeah, it's not really that much of a baseball movie as much as baseball is involved. It's kind of a movie about gang violence that happens to happen to a particular baseball team and people on the baseball team.
How did they leave off Field of Dreams? How did that happen?
Yeah, the list has a couple ones. It left off Field of Dreams. It left off Major League. And then I have a bunch of just fun baseball guilty pleasure movies. I frankly always love Kevin Costner's For the Love of the Game. So
yes,
that was
cool.
I really enjoy. It probably isn't on everyone's top 10 of all time list, but it's a movie I could watch over and over and over.
Yeah, he told that. It's like he told it and you had to go back in time to hear the rest of the story. The way he told it. It was an excellent movie. He played for the Detroit Tigers, I think, in the film, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. Yeah. An older pitcher in the twilight of his career in fall. He's going to retire, and here he is on the mound pitching a perfect game before the end of his career. Yeah.
What other ones do you have? Do you have any more?
Those are the biggest ones that I had. I mean, I think, like you said, how could they possibly leave Major League out of this one? But, I mean, there are a couple other ones. Mark Harmon was in a great movie, too, called Stealing Home. You know, when you look at some of those movies, I think just, you know, baseball tends to be there's so much that can go on and off the field. There's so many different characters that you can put in. I think it's a great backdrop for any type of story.
I just want to end with this. Occasionally a TV show, a movie can be made into a TV show and it'll be a hit, like MASH, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And then you got the ones that were such a big hit at theaters and never made it into the big screen. They were just flops. Here's the list. Fast Times, based on Fast Times of Ridgemont High. Delta House, based on Animal House. Uncle Buck, Stir Crazy. Serpico, Working Girl. Down and Out in Beverly Hills. Gung Ho, Dirty Dancing, Logan's Run. All flops on the small TV screen. But such big hits when they were movies. So sometimes it doesn't work. With MASH, it happened to work out just fine because that's one of the greatest TV shows ever. Let's do a quick review here. We have four new films out. I want to run through them real quickly in this last minute here.
All right. You got the R-rated action movie Novocaine. You've got the spy thriller from Steven Spielberg that's very highly rated, Black Bag. You've got John Malkovich playing a pop star that's been gone for decades in Opus. That's an R-rated drama. You've got The Last Supper, which is the PG-13 movie about Christ before his betrayal. And then lastly, you have The Day the Earth Blew Up, a Looney Tunes movie, a PG movie for everyone with Porky Pig and Daffy Duck.
Suffering Fuckatash. I just love saying that. I don't know why. Like Daffy Duck. Well, this has been great again. And don't forget, this Last Supper is going to be different than The Chosen One, which is coming up later in April.
Exactly right. You've got a couple different movies and topics for Lent, but a lot of things coming to the cinema. So hopefully we'll see everyone out there.
All right, hold on the line. Don't hang up yet. Brett Hoffman from Marcus Theaters. A lot of good movies out there. And catch a baseball movie, too. It's a lot of fun. All right, it's 8 o'clock on the noggin. Let's check news. See what's going on.
Local news and timeless hits. WRJN. Racine, Kenosha.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile Business Advantage. I'm Michael Wallace, and the nation's latest aviation incident, an American Airlines jet caught fire after making an emergency landing in Denver.
Orderly, orderly, orderly. Everybody.
CBS's Chris Van Cleve reports the crew had reported an engine vibration.
That airplane inferno sent passengers running through blinding smoke Thursday evening at Denver's airport.
Oh, my gosh.
I look out the window, and there's flames.
Ingrid Hibbets and her family were on board American Airlines Flight 1006 as the cabin filled with smoke.
I'm really grateful that this happened on the ground, because if this happened in the air, I don't think I'd be standing here telling you the story.
12 passengers were treated for minor injuries.